Hey everybody, welcome to the Green Architects Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Chris Briley.
I'm your host, Phil Kaplan. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Excellent. What are we talking about?
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah, aren't you?
Yeah. Today's topic is deep energy retrofits.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I happen to know because we get listener mail. We do get listener mail. And one day we'll read the funny ones or the ones that are... to point out how wrong we are at times and that sort of thing. But
at the very least, your responses are funny.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, I try to be, but no, actually, I really don't. I don't try hard because it's the middle of the workday. I'm just like, yeah, I'll answer this person, whatever. So far, the farthest we've got is from Costa Rica, so we are international.
That's very cool. What does a deep energy retrofit look like in Costa Rica?
Well, I don't know because the gal who asked me that was... it was great. She gets to hear. We're giving her a shout out. I don't have her name. Oh darn. Anyways, you know, she was talking about warm climates. You know, which I said, hey, we're not really experts at that. But she thought our lack of knowledge of horchata was funny. Because, right. So great.
So you want to tell us this lovely drink that you've made for us?
Oh
today,
yeah,
Chris?
Let's get right to it. Okay, this is the sidecar. Now, a sidecar is sort of like that's an old timey kind of a thing. I've been a sidecar. No one knows the origins of this, or. I shouldn't say it. Someone knows the origins, but I don't. But apparently some bar somewhere ordered for this guy who always brought his date in the sidecar of his motorcycle. You know, it's a different gal all the time, and he always ordered this. That's the legend, but I don't know. This is not your... Rediscover this drink, everybody, because it's great.
I concur. This is my first... I feel like I must have had this before, but...
Yeah, I'm
gonna remember it.
I've had a sidecar renaissance in the last few months. I think it's because spring is coming. And this is, you know, I'm getting out the lemons. So here we go. Sidecar. My sidecar, Phil, is 2 ounces of cognac.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let me get my little recipe. I failed. Half an ounce. Fail. Briley failed. Okay, it's 2 ounces of
cognac.
Actually,
you,
I just pour the stuff in the shaker at the proportions I think it
you
looks
did,
right.
You did perfectly.
All right. But officially, it's 2 ounces of cognac, half an ounce of Cointreau, and about 1 ounce of lemon juice, a fresh lemon juice, guys. Don't just, like... you know, get a real lemon, cut it up, because that's
not one of those plastic things where you unscrew the top. Yeah,
right. It's like 2 years old. Yeah. Someone used it for fish once. You know? But this, yeah. So and then you stick it in a shaker with lots of ice and shake that sucker.
Shake it.
Make it really cold and then pour it in. It's nice and foggy like a martini, but kind of, you know. There you go.
It's excellent.
So here's to you. Yeah. Mm.
Cognac. But you didn't say cognac. I noticed that.
Yeah, cognac.
Good cognac.
And Cointreau. Yeah. Ethnically, I don't think they go together. But
and Cointreau.
But Mr. Boston says use brandy and triple sec.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, Mr. Boston's official bartenders and party guide. If you don't have it, it's.
And party guide. Phil's loaning that to me right now because he's right.
I'm a little disappointed that you didn't actually own this.
No,
own a copy.
I'm sorry.
It should go. You remember,
right,
Chris?
There.
Remember where your sweets catalog used to sit?
Yeah, I'm gonna put it in there. I get 12 volumes of that and just put it. Okay. So,
does anyone still use their sweets?
No.
I'm curious if anyone out there still uses their sweets.
Email us,
please. I'm very curious. I know they have a digital version now, but
and you can email us at galounge@yahoo.com. Like I promised in every episode, one day we will have a real website and a domain and all that jazz. But the reason we haven't jumped on it is because we found a nice home at Green Building Advisor, which is greenbuildingadvisor.com. So shout out to those people who, you know, we're syndicated, Phil.
Yes.
We're not sponsored, but we're syndicated.
That counts for something, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah, those are good guys.
Those are great guys. I'm honored to be with them.
Likewise.
Right, exactly. So so let's get to it. The deep energy retrofit. Phil, what the heck is a deep energy retrofit?
That's a great question. You know, I wonder if this term has gotten out.
It has.
Enough.
I think it has. Well, mm-hmm. we're plugged in, but...
We're plugged in, but I don't think the general public knows what a deep energy retrofit is.
Okay.
I think it's coming, though. I think people are going to start hearing this more and more. You know, I say people have heard weatherization.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to weatherize your home. It's
a
great
sure.
thing. This is beyond weatherization. This is taking it the next step. This is kicking it up 2, 3, 4 notches.
Yeah, I would dare say it's being macho. We're going to be macho with our renovate. We're not just renovating. We're not just adding a something something here. Or we're not just weatherizing. We're saying, screw this oil. I'm seeing the future, and it is high-priced oil. I'm going to invest, and I'm going to invest in my house. I'm going to do it in the smart way. I'm going to go deep energy, buddy.
Deep.
That sounds, tell your friends, I'm going deep into this thing.
This is like the B.A. Baracus of
That's exactly. Pull up the van. We're hopping in. Sheila, can we put it the A-Team theme in? Yeah. All right.
Tell us about the deep energy retrofit, Bill.
I pity the fool. The opposite weatherization.
All right.
So how do you define it? Well, people have not completely agreed about this.
Just percentages, right?
Percentage is about 50%, what tends to be sort of commonly talked about. Some people say 70% energy reduction.
Right, energy reduction from what you're using now. Then you're technically not even technically, because it's loosely defined. You're loosely defined as a deep energy retrofit or something. Mm-hmm. But basically, our client's going to come, if we as architects, our clients come to us and say, I'm going to do it, guys. I'm not only renovating or doing a retrofit or doing whatever, I'm going deep into this thing. Then we sit down and talk about goals, right?
Yeah, and one of the things they should realize is that this is their energy, not just thermally speaking, but electricity. You know, how they really have to change the patterns, their living patterns, that they have to think carefully about how they live.
Right.
This is not just adding insulation. If you really want to do it properly, you've got to get all your loads down.
It's a journey, isn't it? It's a spiritual journey. No, yeah. I'm going.
It's a commitment.
It is a commitment.
Yeah.
It is. So, So
I don't know about B.A. Baracus taking a spiritual journey.
No, he's not going to do that. He's just going to load up and go. But
that's right.
He's going to turn the van into an armored thing.
Filled with ammo.
Filled with ammo. And, they won't hurt a single soul. But they're going to shoot up a town.
That's right.
And everyone's going to get out safely. God, I miss that show. All right. So the client.
See if I can answer
all right. A little role playing. I'm the client, and I say, Phil. All right. I'm going to go deep. What do I do? What's my strategy? What's the first thing I do?
When we talk about deep energy retrofits, we're still really talking about doing the same thing as we do in new construction.
Yeah.
It's the big three.
Oh, right. You're doing that again.
The big three.
Sure.
Yeah, I can remember. You're going to add insulation.
Yeah.
It's air sealing.
Yeah.
And doors and windows.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But here's the difference. It's different every time with a remodel.
Right, because you're dealing with what's existing.
Yeah.
So the response to that guy is, well, it depends. What do you got? And then you got to sit down and figure out your goals. Like, how much are we going to really, how serious is this dude that you're talking to, mm-hmm. who's your client? And he's like, I'm going off the grid. And you're going to go, whoa, buddy. Are you already on the grid?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, then let's not go that far. Let's work with what you got.
Right. Tell me how much you want to spend.
Right.
What are your priorities here?
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the big questions. When does it make sense to do certain things? And when there's no turning back, you got to do it now.
Exactly.
Some things you can phase and do piecemeal. And other things, it just doesn't make sense. It's a bad investment.
Like your foundation or your basement or something like that. Or I'm jumping all over the place. Your siding, your envelope. You're mm-hmm. affecting your envelope and you're going to seal it back up. Man, here's your chance, mm-hmm. right?
Well, let's skip a little bit ahead because I think that's where we're going when it comes to costs and deciding what we're going to do. When do you do a deep energy retrofit? Well, a great time to do it is if you're going to replace your windows or your siding.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get one chance every 40 years,
right.
Best case. So once you do that, you're not going to replace your siding in a couple of years when you're like, oh man, I should have done that before energy prices went triple again. I should have known. I should have listened to that podcast. Those podcast
Those
clowns.
Geniuses. Yeah.
I thought they were clowns. But
I know better.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the time you really do it. There's no turning back. When one of those things happens, you have to replace your windows, your siding, as long as they're not brand new.
It's soul searching time. It's like I'm opening this up, and I'm affecting the R value, and now I'm investing. And how much do I invest, really?
Yeah, yeah.
But if we were already decided we're committing to a deep energy retrofit, we're looking to get at least R40 in our walls, probably, right?
R40 in the walls, R60 in the roof. Same thing we've been talking about, Chris. Right. Same thing with new buildings. Right. R40, R60, under slab, you want it'd be nice to get R20, right. R10 if you can't. Again, we're talking about real cold climates here. We're in Maine.
Yeah, that's right.
You can knock it down a little bit. You do your energy model. Don't be dumb. Don't just listen to us.
Exactly.
We've known that, but
and isn't that really the first step, even with a deep energy retrofit, maybe even especially with a deep energy retrofit? You got to deal with what you've got existing. I mean, in almost any case, we're going to be renovating. You're changing something for the better anyway, design-wise. You know, you might be increasing a living room or adding a something or whatever. But we're also going to examine how your house performs now and where it needs the most help, even though we know we're going to be modifying some things. But we also can then, given the shape that your house is going to have when we're done, we can actually add our values and calculate using an energy model what your consumption is going to be. And we can start playing the what-if game of, well, what if you had R50 walls? How much does that save? Well, what if you had R60? Because you'll kind of hit a point of diminishing returns or a point where you feel like, okay, you know, I've spent enough on this area, and, you know, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you'll just go until you walk in and start sweating with your own body heat or something like that. And crack the window in the middle of winter. Right?
But, you know, you're absolutely right. These energy models can really open people's eyes.
Yeah.
When they see the blower door go in and then they can feel air rushing through their house and then they see it on paper. You mean, if this thing proposed R40, sounded like a lot to me, but if you're telling me I can save X number of dollars a year, mm-hmm. and I can feel the air rushing through these parts of my house, this is terrifying to me.
And
it should be.
Yeah.
It's a really good, tangible way to understand what we're trying to do with a deep energy retrofit.
And it's at that point that you can sit down with the energy modeler or with the modeler, if you do this stuff yourself, you know, you can sit down with your clients and say, look, if we got your infiltration rate down to X and we got your R value of your walls and your, you know, roof and your foundation down to X, then you'd be spending a hypothetical, and gas prices stay at that, or, you know, oil prices or whatever, you know, you're using for heat, mm-hmm. if they stay at this level, you'll spend X and you'll save Y. And then boom, it's like now it's not just pie in the sky dreaming. It's not, you know, greenwashing or, you know, these, it's not, we've taken all the feelings out of it. It's now science.
I mean, it's science.
Isn't that great?
You have to believe me.
Right.
Believe me. I'm trying to sell my ideas. There's no selling. It sells itself.
Right.
And we're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
So it feels good. I got to say, it feels good when you put it out like that. Always start with that energy model.
All right. So you want to start talking nuts and bolts? Like how we want to open up somebody's house?
Okay. Part number one, use neither nuts nor bolts in your...
Dude, my nuts and bolts house is, I've got that. You don't think that's going to market well? I got the spec house. It's made from nothing but nuts and bolts.
That's brilliant.
And washers.
Oh, well, it's cool.
But yeah, it looks
you can
great.
Disassemble it so it can go back into the earth. There's disentanglement.
Oh,
it's wonderful
yeah,
thing.
You can reuse
the thermal bridging, Chris, of the,
you don't think
the
that
nuts and bolts house.
All right. Well, we'll talk about
how long. Wait, how long are your bolts?
Well, that's a rather personal question, isn't it?
I could have asked. Never mind.
All right. Sheila's blushing. Now she's glaring. That's not a blush. Jeez.
You still pay attention to Sheila's glares. I'm sort of... Well, I don't notice them anymore.
I'm sorry,
Sheila.
She can be intimidating in times. Like other times, she's a ray of sunshine.
She's always a ray of sunshine.
Always a ray of sunshine. Keeps this thing together, because otherwise we'd never meet.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
So there's a couple types of construction that are difficult, more difficult than others. Some are easier than others.
Okay. You want to do what?
Want to say is that it's incredibly important for us to understand our existing building stock and how to improve it.
Gotcha.
We know how to do the new stuff now. We know how to build super insulated, just
right,
wonderful.
We're done. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
Building science knows it's not that far. Right.
Well, no.
Signing off for it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. It's been a great podcast. No, I'm sorry, Phil. So you were saying.
I can't remember what I was saying.
You're building stock, yeah, so we got different types.
So right.
We got...
So the most important thing we got to do is figure out how to use all these existing structures that we've got.
Right.
That's the greenest thing to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because rather than the act of architecture itself is not very green.
That's it. Well, even if it costs the same.
Yeah.
Even if it costs the same. How about that? That's kind of a risk to say.
That
you're
is.
You're gonna take this old house and leave the old crummy guts of it? Well,
maybe.
You know, maybe. As long as you get everything else really comfortable and working well, I think you don't have to say.
So before we delve,
it's much cheaper to go the other way, because I think there's a lot of value in dealing with what's there.
Before we get too far into this, I want to dispel a myth that
dispel.
The myth that a renovation is cheaper. Oof, boy, you know how many times I've had clients do that. I mean, just renovation type clients come in. They think
they're saving money.
I'm going to save money. I'm going to buy not. But I tell you, you know, you if you play the square foot cost game, which you and I don't like to do, but if you did that, boy, howdy, you'd blow your brains out for the. Wow, that's graphic. What did I say? Yeah. You blow your mind is what I was going to say.
You still got the B.A. Baracus attitude.
That must be what it is.
But remember, nobody gets hurt on the A-team.
I know. They all fly, you know, helicopters crash into mountains.
Yeah.
But guys, you know,
they're fine.
They somehow bailed out.
No brains blown.
No. Phew. Thank goodness.
All right.
Anyway, but no, it's when you're doing a deep energy retrofit, let's be serious, because we're talking about incurring costs that are akin to new construction. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are gonna look at your house as your assets, as what you have that you can save and use that to save money, and you know, you're gonna look at it that way. But the stuff you're adding to it, you're gonna add about as much as you would for a new house in terms of, you know, because sometimes it's even more, mm-hmm, because you got to rip stuff off first, and you have to adjust your design with field conditions and things like that. And for like an architect, I got to go in and measure with precision what's, you know, already there, you know, and anyway.
Yeah, it's a puzzle. We got to think, and thinking is hard.
Oh, darn.
That's why we get paid the big bucks, though.
Yeah.
So that's it for this part of the episode. Tune in next week for more from the Green Architects Lounge podcast. A quick reminder that our music is Zelda's theme by Perez Prado, and that our views and drinking habits do not necessarily reflect those of the Green Building Advisor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and keep up the good work.